Have your Bibles, we'll turn to John's Gospel and the chapter 21 and the portion that we read together. John's Gospel, chapter 20, chapter 21. Really, my sermon this morning is a sermon with three texts. It's all the same text, of course. It's a question that the Lord Jesus asked Peter, Simon Peter, in verse 15. Of chapter 21. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, loveth thy me? And three times you'll find Christ asked that question. Loveth thy me? So let's close our eyes. Let's have a little word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the praise that has risen from our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for that closing hymn. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. I rejoice, Lord, in those who can sing that from their heart today, because they've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We pray now for help, as we'd even turn to thy word. We pray for a gracious sense of thy presence. We pray for liberty and power. We pray the word would touch the hearts of your people, even those who's cold at heart, even the unsaved in this meeting. And Father, we pray every heart would be touched by thy word, and that would change our lives and draw us into a deeper, loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Loveth thy me. One of the greatest hymn writers in the world is Charles Wesley. Many tremendous hymns came from his pen, which even to this day is sung by the people of the Lord all over the world. Perhaps in this meeting this morning we have sang together one of his greatest hymns, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Let me to thy bosom fly, while the waters deepest roll, while the tempest still is high. And here's a man of God. He sat down one time and he wrote this tremendous hymn about the love of Christ. He was really taken in by the love that Christ had him. Jesus, Lover of My Soul. History would tell us that Charles Wesley wrote these words in Killalea in County Down in Northern Ireland. It tells us while he was preaching there on one occasion, there were men who came to oppose him because they didn't believe with the doctrines that he preached. And there was a woman in this farmhouse, she told him to go out and to hide himself. And while he went away to hide himself under a bush, the men came demanding to know where he was. And the woman didn't tell them. And as he was under this bush, he thought about Christ. He thought about Christ loving his soul. He thought about how the Lord Jesus Christ could protect him, because he wrote those words, hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. And while he was there hiding from his enemies, he came across this tremendous truth. Jesus loved his soul. What an important truth he learnt. He was loved. He was loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, what a sentiment and truth is found and taught in the Word of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ loves his people. Remember he said himself in John 15 and verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, when the Lord Jesus was speaking about his love, he says, well, there's no greater love. No greater love on this earth. No greater love in the world. No greater love in the universe. No greater love, friends, even that comes from heaven. No greater love than this, than Christ loves, laid down his life for his friends. And you know, this man realized, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, that he loved them. Yes, he had his problems. Yet his enemies were searching for him. Yes, his life perhaps in a sense was in danger, but he had one who loved him, one he could run to, one who could hide him in times of trouble. And oh, child of God, we have Christ today. He loves us with this great love.
We can run to Him in times of trial, in times of trouble. Jesus, lover of my soul, hide me, hide me. Oh, my Savior, hide. And there are times in our life we have to run to Christ. There are times in our life we have to hide ourselves in the bosom of Christ. Charles Wesley realized that Christ loved him. A great love, no doubt, an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Oh, the love of Christ is seen throughout the Bible, even here in relation to Peter. Like a good shepherd, he comes seeking his people. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ had went to the cross and these men had forsaken him. Remember Peter, big, bold, and brave Peter. Well, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, well, I know not the man. I don't know him. And he cursed and he swore and he sinned and he denied the Lord Jesus. But you know what? No, can I say this morning? Christ still loved him. Christ still loved him. No, he had fallen. He had fallen into sin. He had failed to take that stand when he should have stood for Christ. He had fallen, no doubt, friends, into sin. But praise God, he had not fallen from the Savior's love. The true child of God can never fall from the true love of Christ. Everlasting love. And all around his people and underneath his people are the everlasting arms. And here's Christ in love coming to meet his disciples. Coming to meet with these men who are out in the fishing boat. And coming to meet with Peter. You can see there when Peter heard it was Christ in verse 7. Such was a strong desire to get to Christ. He jumped into the water and he started to swim. He swam into Christ. He realized he had failed him. He realized that Christ still loved him. And he jumps out of the boat and he comes into the water and he's swimming and he runs to Christ. He wants to meet with Christ again. Maybe some of God's people this morning has got away from Christ. Are you like Peter? He said, no, I'd love to get to Christ again. Love to get the fire within my soul again. Love my whole heart to love the Lord Jesus. Oh, the way I used to love Him. The way I used to love Him with all my heart. Oh, friends, jump out of that boat you're in this morning. Go through that sea of opposition and sin that you found yourself in. And come to the feet of Christ again. And Peter comes to Christ. The Lord Jesus is there and the fire is lit and they get the food and all out and there they all are, having fellowship with Christ. Oh, that's the greatest blessing in life for the child of God, to be in the place of fellowship with Christ. And there He is, the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting among His people and He looks at them all and specifically He looks at Peter. Oh, do you see the eye of Christ looking upon Peter? And He has a question for Peter. And it's a very public question because the other disciples were there and heard the question. And He looks at Peter and He says to Peter, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you love me, Peter? What a question that is. Three times the Lord Jesus said to Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And I have no doubt, friends, at this time you would have heard a pin drop. Silence would have came all over the disciples. Lovest thou me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? See, this text is not questioning our Lord's love to Peter. We know the Lord loved Peter. But it was about Peter's love to Him. Lovest thou me? I want to speak first of all about Peter's possession of love. We can see clearly here that the Lord Jesus was looking into the life, into the heart of the Peter. And here's what the Lord was looking for. He was looking for this possession of love in Peter's heart. Peter, do you love me? He did not ask Peter, well, Peter, are you converted? Are you converted? Are you saved? Are you under the blood? Peter, have you trusted me? Have you come to me? Are you dependent upon me to get you to heaven? Peter, are you converted from sin and from the world? The Lord didn't ask him that. Because he was converted. You can read over there in John chapter 1, verse 40 to 42, how Andrew, his brother, says, and he brought him to Jesus. What a wonderful day. He came to Christ. Oh, this happy, happy day when he left the world and left his sin and he came down to the feet of Jesus. What a day that was. And the Lord didn't ask him, Peter, are you converted? Are you converted to me, Peter? He didn't ask Peter, well, I have you courage for me? You know, Peter was a bold and a brave man at times. And Peter, in the past, had shown he had courage. You think of Matthew 14, verse 28 and verse 29, where the Lord was walking on the water. And Peter looked out and he says to the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, he was a brave man. The waves were going up and down. He says, Lord, well, can I walk in the water to thee? And the Lord says, well, come. And he jumped out of the boat and he started to walk in the water for a moment. But I tell you, friend, he had courage. And in John 18, verse 10, when all the enemies of Christ came to arrest, it says, the Lord Jesus, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and put off his right ear. Peter, he was ready to fight. You see, he had boldness. And dear friends, he had courage. He was ready to fight for Christ. But the Lord didn't ask him, Peter, have you courage for me? He knew he had. He knew Peter was a bit bold and brass sometimes. That he had courage. He didn't ask Peter here, had he commitment to him? Because over in Mark chapter 10, Peter saw a young fellow come to Christ who turned away from the Lord. The Lord told him to give up all his riches and take up the cross and follow me. And he says, well, he went away sad, for he had great possessions. And Peter saw this. And he said to the Lord Jesus in Mark 10, verse 28, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and we'll follow thee. Lord, we have given up everything. We've left everything. Our families, our fishing boats, our employment, our possessions. But we have given up all. We've given up everything. And the Lord didn't say, Peter, well, art thou committed to me? Didn't ask him that. Because the Lord knew he was. He proved it. He proved that he was committed to him. The Lord didn't ask him about his creeds about Christ, because you can find Peter coming out with great statements in his writings. Because in Matthew 16, verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And people were going about and said, well, is it John the Baptist? Is the Lord Jesus Elias? Is he one of the prophets? And the Lord says to Peter, well, whom do you say I am? He says, well, thou art the Christ. Don't forget, he had this great creed. He believed who Christ was. He was the Messiah who had come from heaven. And then the reason to salvation in Acts 4, verse 12. He says, neither is there salvation and any other, for none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter had it all learned thence. He knew who Christ was. He went out and he preached, aye, there's no other way of getting to heaven. You'll never be saved. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter, friends, what you have done. There's no other way of getting to heaven but Jesus Christ. But the Lord didn't ask them, friends, what about your creeds? But he asked him about his compassion. Do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? That's what the Lord asked him. The Lord was looking at his heart. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thy me, you see. You see, a person may be converted. He may take a stand for Christ. He may seemingly be committed to his cause. He may hold on to the great doctrines of the faith and not really love Christ. Not really love him. That's a very solemn lesson, friends. Over in the book of Revelation, we have the church at Ephesus. And it tells us there in Revelation 2, in verse 2, the Lord Jesus says, I know thy works and thy labour and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And I have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. Here's people busy. Here's people laboring. Here's people who have patience. Here's a church. Well, they're testing these false prophets who's coming in. And he said, well, you've tried them and you've listened to them. And you've found out, well, that they're liars. But what did he say in verse 4? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You see, dear friends, they had all of these things. They had their commitment. They had their creeds. They had their doctrines. They had their church. They had their minister. They had their teachings. But there was one thing missing in their life, and it was this. They didn't love Christ. They left their first love. Nevertheless, what I have somewhat against thee, thou hast left thy first love. You see, the Lord was looking for the possession of Peter's love. Do you love me? And I want to say to this congregation, this is a living question from the Word of God. Simple, short, and plain to the heart of everyone. Everyone in this congregation, from the oldest to the very youngest. Lovest thou me, says Christ. Do you love me? That's what the Lord's looking for. That's what he was looking for in this servant of his. I'm not asking you, saying, well, do you believe the doctrines of the Free Presbyterian Church? I'm not asking you, have you shown commitment to this work? No, friends, I'm not asking you, are you converted? But have you this possession of love in your heart for Christ? Lovest thy me, you see. If you can have all these other things, but you don't really love Christ. Don't really love him, friends. You see, this possession of love, love us thy me. The prominence of love also was in the question. He said, love us thy me more than these. Now, you can take this maybe three ways. What about his family? Or the church family? Do you love me more than all of these disciples? Do you love me more than all of your family? Remember, Peter was married. Do you love me more than your wife? See, what a question the Lord was speaking. Lovest thou me more than these? Because when I come to the Bible, the Lord Jesus is to be first love in our hearts. Remember he said in Matthew 10 verse 37, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And before all the relations, and how dear our relations are in our family, husband and wives, sons and daughters, moms and dads, and they are to be loving relationships. No problem with that. But the greatest love in my heart as a Christian should be love to Christ. And the greatest love in your heart as a Christian should be a love to Christ. Because the Lord says, lovest thou me more than these. Am I your first love? Do you love me first, friends? Bible says in Mark 12, verse 30, and I shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, with all of the heart. Not just some of the heart, friends. But oh, I am to love Christ with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, and with all of my strength. And I say to you this morning, is Christ your first love? Is he first love in your life? Is he the first love in your heart? Well, asking, do you love your family? Of course you do. You should. But friends, is Christ number one? Lovest thou me more than these? We can think not only of his family. What about his fishing? Because it tells us there in verse 3, he says, I go a fishing. Back to the boats. Back to the old trade again that I used to make his money at. There he was out fishing. Well, do you love me more than these things? Than fishing? Your business, your profession, your career, your hopes, your possessions, material things. Do you love me then more than these things? Am I first? Do you love me more than your friends? Are your friends love? Do you love me more than these other men? You see, this the Lord Jesus was asked, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me more than all of these things? Am I your first love? Am I number one in your life? That's a solemn question from the pulpit this morning. You'll not forget the text. Do you love the Lord more than anything? That's the question. More than your business, more than possessions, more than silver, more than gold, more than friends, more than family, more than anything in this world. Yes, the Lord has blessed us. We have possessions. The Lord has given us great things in this world to live and to enjoy. Nothing wrong with these things. But our friends, do we love Christ? Or have we allowed the world? Have we allowed possessions? Have we allowed riches all to cloud out our love for Christ? See, the possession of Christ's love, or Peter's love. Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Am I your first love? That's what the Lord's looking this morning in your heart and in my heart. Do I love Christ? And let me say this, He can see your heart. He can see my heart this morning. Do you love me? Love us, thou me. Our great Savior, the one who died upon the cross to save us and give us life and shed His blood, the one who has promised to come to take us home to heaven, the one who is our friend, that sticketh closer than a brother. Do you love Him? Do you love Christ this morning? Have you this possession of love in your heart? Can I look secondly at the profession of Peter's love? The Lord asked him the question, love us, thy me. Let's see how Peter answered the question. He answered honestly, can I say this, because he says, thou knowest that I love thee. You see, he was being honest with Christ. He appealed to the omniscience of the Lord Jesus. Thou knowest. Now, you see, listen, Peter realized he can't fool the Lord. He realized the Lord knew all about him. He realized the Lord could see right into his heart. And he says, Lord, thou knowest. And so when Peter says, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, Peter was being honest with Christ. Now he knew a different Greek word we had to say this. But yet he was honest, friends. He says, thou knowest I love thee. Thou know it. And I once said, friends, can you answer this honestly this morning, that you love Christ? You see, I want to say, we can pretend to love the Lord. We can pretend, God's people can come to His house, and we can pretend that everything's right in my heart with Christ, and I love Christ, and we look at Him and sing Him with all our heart, and we can really pretend that we have this deep and great love in our hearts for Christ, and all the time, we haven't. But can you answer it honestly this morning? Lord, I know us. That I love them. We cannot fool Christ, friends. We can fool each other. But you cannot fool Christ. And His piercing eye is upon you this morning. The same eye that looked upon Peter is looking down upon your heart. Love is thy me. Well, can you say, yeah, Lord, I know us. I know us, I love thee, Lord. Can he answer it honestly? He answered carefully as well. You see, the first two times the Lord Jesus asked him this question, he asked him, do you love me, with an agape type of love, a great love, the strongest Greek word that there is in the Bible for love. The third time the Lord Jesus asked him the word about affection, a different Greek word for love. That's the word the Lord used in the third question. But Peter answered the question very, very carefully. Yeah, Lord, I know that I have affection for thee. This second Greek word for love. But I want to say this. He was being careful now. He was not bragging. He was not saying, Lord, I love thee more than others. He had boasted, Lord, I'll never leave thee. And all these other disciples, well, they'll probably leave you. They'll probably forsake thee. And when the enemy comes, well, they will flee. But Lord, you can depend upon me. But friends, Peter had learned his lesson. He answered the question carefully. The Spurgeon said he would have that he loved Christ, but not that he loved Christ better than others. He may not love Him as he ought to do, but at least he loved Christ in some measure. You see, he answered the question carefully. Thou knowest, Lord, that I have affection to thee. He couldn't say, well, this great Greek word that means a great love. But he was very careful in his boast, very careful in his answer. Can you and I answer the question carefully? I think we had to be careful with the answer.
Can we say it in the first word used, the great love, or the second word? No doubt there are people can say it with all of their heart, the first word. Agape, I love you, Lord, with a great love. But Peter said the second one. Well, we're not singing that great hymn, Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is weak and faint. But I love thee and adore, O for grace, to love thee more. I think that would be my statement. That my love is weak and faint. And O for grace, to love thee more. If you don't want to love the Lord more, friends, I think we should. Then He's loved us. He's changed our lives. He's taken us from sin. He's bringing us home to heaven. Oh, to answer this character, Lord, at the facts of it. But I want grace to love thee more. You see, there was room for improvement in the love of Peter. He hadn't reached it, friend. Now we think we've come to that place where we say, oh, I have loved the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. I just couldn't love Him anymore. But I never come to that. It's always weak and faint. And Peter was very careful how he answered it. He answered sorrowfully as well, because it says there, Peter being grieved in verse 17. He was grieved in verse 17, it says, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Not that he was getting fed up with the question, not at all. You see, the Lord was working where? On his heart. The Lord was, remember this, Peter had denied the Lord three times. He had said three times, I know not the man, I know nothing about him. Three times he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Now three times he was going to be questioned about his love. And when the Lord was saying, Peter, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me, Peter? Lovest thou me? Peter was feeling his sin. Peter realized he had fallen. Peter realized he had failed the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter realized that he had grieved the one who had loved him with this great everlasting love. Peter was grieved in this sense. Oh Lord, I know us to love thee. Could you hear him, friends? Maybe with her tears running down his cheeks. Lord, I know us. I know us, I have failed. I know us, Lord, I have sinned against thee. Lord, I know us. I know us that I love thee. Maybe you have failed. Maybe, child of God, you have failed Christ. And he's standing before your heart's door this morning. Do you love me? Do you love me, he says. Do you love me? Your heart is touched. Do you look at the one who has loved you with this great love? Do you realize that your love is so weak and faint and you've failed them? And you've failed them miserably and you've fallen? But yet you say, Lord, I know us, I love thee. You're grieved. And I should be. A child of God should be grieved when they sinned. Sin does not bring us happiness at all. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God, you see. He said, sorry, I know us, Lord, I love thee. I failed thee, but I love thee. I believe he also professed it gratefully. Because let me say this, I love thee. You know, what a grateful thing to be able to say that I love the Lord. There was a time he didn't love the Lord. There was a time in Peter's life, no doubt, he was far away from Christ. There was a time he was in a sin. In Romans 1 and verse 30 it says about people who's all unsaved, and it says haters of God. I have no doubt Peter went in his life one time in his all converted state. He didn't like Christ. He didn't like his word. He didn't like his gospel. He didn't like his salvation. He didn't like his message. He liked nothing about him. But his whole life was changed and he got saved. His whole heart was changed from the love of the world and the love of sin. And now his heart was changed to love Christ. And I can say it, friends. He was grateful he could say, I love thee, Lord. I love thee. You and I can say it gratefully. And you're glad today you can say, my Jesus, I love thee. Are you not grateful? Are you grateful that you're saved? Your sins are under the blood? You've ever lost it in life. There's a time we weren't saved. There was a time in my life I didn't love Christ. I didn't like him. Didn't like his word, didn't like his people, didn't like his church, didn't like his message, and you were the same. Opposition against Christ. We will not have this man to reign over us.
Why is it today we're in the house of God? Why is it we can praise Him? Why is it we can say these words, "My Jesus, I love Thee"? Because of the grace of God, the Lord changed my heart and turned my heart from hating Christ and His Word and everything to loving Him. Are you not grateful you can say, "My Jesus, I love Thee"? Maybe you're not saved this morning. Maybe your heart is still closed to Christ, His message, His offer of salvation. Oh, what a miserable place to be. In the world and in sin and on that broad way that leads to destruction. You need the Lord to change your heart. You need to come to Christ. You need to turn from your sins and put your faith, dear friends, in the Lamb of God. And then to be able to say, "Lord, I know us. I love Thee." And there be some in the congregation, and "I know us, I don't love Thee. I don't love Thee, Lord. I know us, I don't obey Thee. I don't come to Thee. I don't want Thee." Oh, my Lord, have mercy on you. That's your heart. "Lovest Thou me?" He answered repeatedly as well, because three times he said, "Thou knowest I love Thee." Wasn't just to once, friends. Wasn't just to twice. But three times he says, "Lord, Thou knowest I love Thee." And he's saying, "My Jesus, I love Thee. My Jesus, I love Thee. Lord Jesus, I want to say before all the disciples here that I love Thee. I love Thee, Lord." Repeatedly he's saying, "I love Thee," you see. You can never tell the Lord Jesus enough that you love Him. In fact, every day we should tell the Lord Jesus that we love Him. I wonder, do you tell Him? I wonder, in your prayer time and devotional time, do you really say, "Lord, I praise You for saving me, and I want to say that I love Thee"? Have you come, sometimes we come to the Lord, "Lord, we want this." And there's nothing wrong with bringing your petitions and your needs to Christ. "I want You to do this, and I want that, and I want..." There's nothing wrong. We're taught in the Lord's Prayer to ask for these things. But friends, how often in our prayer time and in our time for communion do we come and say, "Well, Lord, I love Thee. I've come to tell you, Lord Jesus, that I love Thee"? When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you told the Lord, "My Jesus, I love Thee"? This was Peter's profession of love. "My Jesus, I love Thee." Can you say it? So what's weak and faintly, but can you say it? Is there some love in your heart for Christ? And you're glad it's there? And you're glad that God has put it there? And you're glad you're under the blood and on your way to heaven? Oh, friends, His perfection of His love. "My Jesus, I love Thee." But I want to look lastly at the practice of His love. Love to Christ is never alone. It produces action in the life of the believer. You look at what the Lord Jesus says to Peter in the verse 15. He says, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." And then when the Lord said in the same words in verse 16, he saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." And at the end of verse 17, the Lord Jesus again saith unto him, "Feed my sheep," you see. Now, love to Christ is expressed here in His duties. He was to feed the lambs. He was to feed the sheep, you see. He was to care for the children of the Lord. And he was to show his love towards Christ by showing love to his people. By serving Christ. And by doing something for Christ. And you can read the New Testament. You see that Peter, well, he did these things. He fed the lambs. And he fed the sheep. He became a great soul winner. He went out and he preached. And 3,000 people were saved in the day of Pentecost. We can read of his epistles. He was writing to comfort the people of the Lord in their time of sorrow and of trouble. And so what he was doing? Well, he was obeying the command of Christ. He was showing his love. The Lord says, "Do you love me, Peter?" He says, "I do." He says, "Do this. Prove it. Prove it. Feed the lambs. Feed the sheep. Do a work for me. Do something for me." He did it by doing these things. He did it by following Christ, because at the end of verse 19, he said unto him, "Follow me." He followed the Lord. You see, dear friends, we show love by following Christ. In Luke 9, verse 23, and he saith unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Think this is what Peter had to do. Do you love me, Peter? Well, Peter says, yes, Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest that I love thee. Well, he says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, well, and follow me.
Prove it. Show your love to me by doing these things.
And I want to say to all of us, it's easy for us to say, I love the Lord, but we've got to show it. Do you show it? Do you show it in your life that you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember he says in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you show it? Do I show it? Do we obey his law and his commandments? Do we seek to help the lambs, the little ones of this congregation and the community? Do we reach out to people with the gospel? Do we seek to help and to love one another? Is our love seen in our daily life? Is it seen in our duties? Is it seen in our devotions? In our prayer times? Are we following Christ? Do the world see that I love Christ by my life? Do the world see that you love Christ by your life? How you're living your life? You see, friends, this is the practice of his love. He was assured by his duties. He was assured by his death. Verse 18 and 19, the Lord tells him about the death that he would face. In verse 19, by what death he should glorify God. Now, tradition tells us that Peter was crucified hanging upside down. Now, if that is true, what a terrible death. They're going to crucify him like Christ, and it seemed that he requested it had to be turned upside down. And can you see this man of God? Peter, there he is on the cross, hanging upside down. And in a sense, in his heart, he said, my Jesus, I love thee. My Jesus, I love thee. My Jesus, I love thee. He showed his love to Christ just by his death. He loved Christ on to the end. Can I say to you, is that going to be the practice of your love? I hope we all end well. I hope every child of God here in this place ends well. On your deathbed, you'll be able to say, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Not when you're up on the mountaintop. It's easy to sing. But when we come to the valley of the shadow of death, we'll be able to say, my Jesus, I love thee. Show this love right through our life. That's what Peter did. That's what he did through his whole life. Preaching and serving and working for Christ. He showed that he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He showed that the Lord Jesus was his friends. Are you showing love to Christ by your practice? Prayer meetings? Are you coming to the prayer meetings? Are you seeking to help out in the work of the Lord, seeking to reach the lost and doing a bit for Christ? Living a testimony wherever you are, working, at home, at school, workplace, for Christ? Are you showing your love to the Lord Jesus? Showing the world that you love him. Thou knowest, Lord, that I love thee. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22 in closing. If any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema, Maranatha. As a solemn warning for any who's not saved. If you don't love Christ, notice this, let them go to hell. Let the curse of God fall upon them. Let them endure the wrath of God and punishment for their sins. Any man, doesn't matter who he is, if he doesn't love Christ, it's a terrible thing not to love Christ. It's a terrible sin not to come to Christ and to trust him. And if you're not saved, you're in dangerous ground. Oh, that God would touch your heart and you trust him today. No, if you're a backslider, you get the love of Christ back in your heart. And all for God's people, including myself, will be encouraged to love Christ more. Lovest thou me? Well, how do you answer it this morning? Do you answer like Peter? Dear Lord, I knowest that I love thee, Lord. Oh, for grace to love thee more. Because we've only one life to do it on this earth. Let us love Christ with all of our heart. And give him the very best of our life. And seek to live for him. May God write his word upon all of our hearts. Amen. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We have been challenged by it, Lord. I pray that you have touched hearts by your Spirit, the heart of your people. There may be some who's backslidden, they're cold at heart. I pray you'll touch them and restore them, Lord. I pray for your people who's gone on with thee. You give us all a deeper love for Christ. I pray for those who have no love in their heart at all for Christ. They have a love for sin, a love for the world, love for those things that would eventually destroy their soul in hell, that I would set them free and bring them to Christ. Oh Lord, do these things. Have thine own way and touch all of our hearts. We thank you again for Christ's love to us. It never changes. He has loved his people with an everlasting love. Take us now separate ways, Lord, now into our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.